Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Watch Time, your weekly download on everything happening on the internet this week. We are going to be talking fully in depth on the FaZe IPO that's happening, or FaZe listing on the NASDAQ, which is pretty major news for the esports kind of world. We're going to be breaking down what our views on it are, potential considerations, the revenue model, the controversy that FaZe has been in, and what it means for the rest of the esports industry as a whole and the gaming industry. But first of all, Elliot, how's your week been?
Week's been good. Getting some streams done. I kind of like, because when we left the Click
Office, you've been streaming a lot.
I have been. I've had a couple of sponsored streams, but also just I realized I need to stream more, because when I initially moved back home from the Click Office, I had like a bunch of internet problems here at home. Mm-hmm. And it just like, it made streaming such a bummer for a while, because I'd start streaming, it was all going really well, and then like my internet would just like break for like 15 minutes and I had to end streams randomly. So just kind of like, I was in a really good rhythm of getting all my streams done, ended up breaking it, but now I'm trying to get back in gear.
My week's been very busy. I've been totally in Facebook land this week, which has been fun. Click obviously works really closely with Facebook. We're doing heaps of work with creators on that platform, which is like, it's really exciting. Like, I love working with creators, but it's also really refreshing to like work with a platform as well and like see how it works, see the inside of the machine or the inside of the sausage or whatever that saying is.
Which you get to do a lot more with Facebook than most other platforms, because obviously like we'll work with, you know, YouTube and Twitch and everyone. But Facebook, because they're a lot more still in like the early growth stage and really kind of trying to build that area of their platform, it is like a lot more, you get to see a lot deeper and, you know, a lot more 100%. Of kind of like the base than what you normally would.
100%. And we're going to be going back into an office next week with a bunch of our people, which is really exciting. It's been like 4 months since we've all been in an office together. So I am excited for that. But in the news this week, we heard that FaZe is going to be basically listing on the NASDAQ through what they call like an SPAC, which is like a special purpose vehicle. Which allows FaZe to basically list a little bit faster and with a little bit less scrutiny. But when you saw this, what were your first impressions off the bat? Like, were you surprised? Were you not surprised?
No, I was very much like, oh, finally. Like, I figured they were
going to... Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that I kind of saw FaZe as probably of all, you know, maybe them and like an energy of like all the like esports involved people as the ones who are the most kind of like gearing towards trying to really build themselves organizationally for a public listing, or at least, you know, kind of really gearing towards investors. And I actually know, well, I mean, obviously we all know that they've been doing a lot of like investor rounds and like Series A funding rounds.
Yeah.
And I know a couple of people who have like their own little family funds who are like investing in FaZe.
Yeah.
So they've definitely been going down the like funding route for a while, which a lot of the time is what you do as a prelude to a public offering.
Still a pretty amazing transformation, though, from a company that was like in a WeWork three or four years ago to where they are today.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm actually quite interested, because obviously I had a phase 3 years ago where I did get to see a lot more of like the inner workings of it. And as much as like externally, I think I can kind of see what they've changed, I would love to know a bit more in terms of like detail of like organizationally, really what has changed, what is different, because I'm sure things are different. And I'm sure.
And what do you mean? Why do you think that things would have needed to change?
Well, I mean, I think FaZe has always been really good at organized chaos.
Yeah.
Would be what I would put it as. And I think that what most kind of stock market listed companies would consider functional inner workings is not something that I would strongly align with my understanding of FaZe Clan's inner workings back when I kind of had that insight into it, you know? Like, I think
Do you think, though, they
run fast and they break a lot of eggs.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
Do you think that
we need more chickens.
Do you think that that is just kind of like a necessary part of being in the gaming industry in 2020, 2021, though? Like, who isn't doing a little bit of organized chaos? Or do you think that, there is an element of it that's unique to FaZe? And if so, why?
I do. Okay. And I hate that I feel like I'm always like cheerleading like energy, right?
But why?
Like, well, I don't hate it, but like, I feel like now I mention energy on the podcast, everyone's like, oh, here we go again. Oh, what's that? You want to say how good Andy Miller is again? No, but like, I think there's organized chaos in a good way. Like, you know, I think energy, for example, they, and you know, not necessarily that this always means that everything they do is better, but I definitely think there's, you know, a lot of structure, a lot of like, and you know, there might be chaos in the sense of, oh, we're going to throw $100,000 at this idea and it might work, it might not work, but that's a tactical decision. Versus I think a lot of the chaos that I have seen within FaZe is less around taking big risks that potentially don't pay off, and more around, oh, it turns out the CEO of our company is actually a Scandinavian scam artist who currently tried to steal stocks and market share from everyone. And then, oh, what's this? Like, he's now...
The previous CEO, by the way. Not Lee Trink.
Yeah,
is brilliant.
Yeah, and then... So I just think a lot of the time, the controversy they've had in the past and the chaos has been around controversies, drama, and just generally mismanagement. Which obviously is something I think that they've done a really great, intense job of trying to correct and stamp out. And like you said, I've only heard great things about Lee, and I've only heard great things about everyone that's working on the company these days. And I guess, you know, 3 years is a long enough time to kind of hopefully transform and turn a company around a bit. But yeah, like I said, I would love to know how much that is the case and how much they have been able to turn everything around, because definitely the FaZe that existed 3 years ago is not one that I would imagine ever going public, or if it did go public, that would be quite shortly followed by a very large scandal, I'm guessing.
When I first saw the news, I at first was like, okay, sure. Like, makes sense. If there was a company that was going to do it, it was probably FaZe. I do think like, FaZe is probably a little bit further ahead than energy, just in terms of like having buttoned down kind of like what their value proposition is, who they are, like who they're talking to. Their audience is still probably bigger than energy's. So I thought it made sense. But then there was a couple things that like really I've then been thinking about where I'm like, this is going to be really interesting to see how this performs in a public market. It's really like shining a light on gaming esports and these type of companies in a way that I think hasn't been done before. They are kind of the first of their kind in terms of an esports org to be going public. There is obviously Enthusiast Gaming, which has gone public before. I view them kind of in a different light, more as probably like a media company, even though they own Luminosity. Honestly, yeah, their performance hasn't been great this year. I wonder how much FaZe may have looked at that and thought about how that could be more of an industry-wide performance view versus like something specific to do with Enthusiasts.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I didn't have a full understanding of Enthusiasts' like breakdown in terms of value, but I wouldn't imagine that the Luminosity part is the largest part of their offering. They're much, I think, like you said, more a media company, which is what makes this so interesting, because FaZe's value proposition and what they're kind of pinning their value on is very much just the FaZe brand.
Totally. So let's break that down, because that is like kind of one of the biggest areas for me. FaZe in their investor presentation said that in 2021, they're on track to do about $50 million in revenue. That's a good amount of revenue, I suppose. And that they're aiming by 2025 to be on track for $650 million worth of revenue. And they are wanting to go to market. They're aiming for a $1 billion valuation. A $1 billion valuation puts that valuation at the moment 20 times revenue. Now, 20 times revenue for a valuation, and I am not a valuation specialist, that's high. I think that is particularly high for a company that is not a tech company. Like, I think those sort of valuations.
To be quickly clear, while Grace is not a valuation specialist, she has worked in a lot of like mergers and other finance industry related nonsense. So you're familiar with the rough value multiples that get placed on companies.
Yeah. I would say 20 feels high. For a company that's not
vibing it.
What's the feel of it all?
Yeah, what's the vibe?
I suppose it's not necessarily like out of the realm of possibility, but it's certainly not conservative, which, you know, it's FaZe. Who's assuming that they would be conservative?
No, exactly.
My issue here is that FaZe has also made clear that their main source of revenue is sponsorships. Now, sponsorships for me hold a few issues in terms of how that is contributing to their valuation. One, sponsorships are not scalable. This is not like a subscription revenue model like a Netflix or something where it can just keep growing and there's really no limit to the growth and that doesn't necessarily incur huge amounts more cost. You're relying on sponsoring the org, people in the org. Yep. That's basically it. So that relies extremely heavily on the public perception of those people in the org, the popularity of those people in the org, which FaZe can only control to a certain extent. Everyone knows that sponsorships are a risky area of revenue when it comes to controversy. Like, we all saw the whole David Dobrik thing earlier this year. He probably was making a shit ton in sponsorships and then suddenly was not. And could that happen with FaZe? Yes, I think it could. Like, they've obviously had their fair share of scandals. They're not green to the idea of controversy, whether that be the whole crypto scandal that they had with two of their major talent earlier in the year. Like, I feel like they managed to kind of gloss over that and separate themselves from it quite quickly. But that's risky business.
Which, like, now in hindsight, you can very much understand them immediately dropping the FaZe member they did because...
Yeah, not worth it.
Because at the time...
But they can't do that. That's what I mean. That's not a replicable model where it's like anytime someone fucks up, they can just drop them.
Yeah.
Like, they can. But is that really a strong underlying business? For me, no.
I wonder if they had to put out a memo over the last few months being like, guys, nothing can go wrong between now and the end of the year. If you fuck up... we kill you. Like, actually. Like,
literally.
Because think about the time that crypto drama happened. They would have been, like, in the final stages of this announcement.
Surely.
Like, this would have been very, very, very well underway and almost ready to go. And that would have been a absolutely, like, crushing bit of drama to have hit at that time. I think I think it's super interesting for a lot of reasons. Like you said, the revenue model is really interesting.
They've also made clear that they actually really aren't relying on esports very much as any part of their revenue model, which I thought was very revealing and an interesting little comment. They didn't really go into it, but Lee Trink made a comment that despite the fact that they're an esports org, esports is a model that has significant underlying issues. And I think that's the first time that I've really heard an esports CEO recognize publicly
yeah.
that esports as a revenue model has issues. And I think, like, that very much feeds into so much of the conversation that Ellie and I have had this year, where we're talking about companies like 100 Thieves or Energy or FaZe, or Power, these big esports org, and thinking, like, what is the business they're actually in? And for FaZe, I think they've made very clear through this investor presentation and their plans to go public that esports is not a part of the business they're relying on from a revenue perspective. And they're really going to be leaning on sponsorships and they're going to be trying to grow internationally.
But we have talked about this before. As much as esports itself isn't a revenue model, it does give you something tactile to build your brand around.
Yes.
Like, because what is FaZe unless they've got teams competing?
Totally.
It's like just a bunch of fuckboys in LA. That's a joke. Come on. It's not totally wrong, but literally, without the esports teams behind it, there is no.
It's the vehicle.
Yeah, it is the vehicle again
that they can put an advertisement on. One good point that I do think you made in regard to sponsorships, though, which kind of counteracts that risk that I was talking about just before, where I was saying that obviously sponsorships relies very heavily on the people you're putting the sponsorships on, is you mentioned that you do think FaZe, beyond any other org, has value in the name FaZe and the brand FaZe rather than just the people that are part of it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that is the problem with a lot of kind of esports orgs, is they do build too heavily around a single creator. And, you know, like, obviously when we've talked about Lockie's Team Power in the past, while obviously we've said, like, the amount of stuff they're doing right is huge, that is still one of the big hurdles that they're going to have to overcome.
What is Power without Lachlan?
Yeah, not only is he the kind of key core creator by a mile, it's also literally his name.
Yeah.
But FaZe, I think, I mean, FaZe has shown in the past that they can drop pretty much any individual member and they can survive that bump.
Yeah.
Also,
you don't see Banks as, like, as important to FaZe as, say, a nade shot is to 100 Thieves.
I would almost say Banks is the exception. It's super interesting because I actually don't have a deep understanding of the FaZe fan base. It's like a very different sector to me and the circles I'm in.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
But I would actually put FaZe and Nadeshot in like a similar status relative to their org. In terms of how important they are, the only difference is FaZe has so many big people in it that even though Banks is a huge deal, there's probably enough other weight there to kind of survive losing Banks for whatever reason, not unless there was some huge controversy, not that I could ever see him leaving FaZe.
No.
But with Nadeshot, when a Nadeshot leaves 100 Thieves, it's like, okay, well now you're Valkyrie and Courage is kind of like the only two creators left. Like, and obviously they're big names, but relative to the entire FaZe roster, there's not quite as much there.
Yeah.
But again, I think that is still my main concern around investing in esports orgs is, number one, like you said, the revenue model, sponsorship, it doesn't scale as aggressively. And I feel like most of the time when you see companies going for 20x revenue as their valuation,
there's something scalable.
There's some crazy tech product that is potentially going to be selling for like multiple billions of dollars.
And they haven't alluded to that. And I feel like if that existed, they would.
And most of the way that FaZe has generated, and so this was actually something I thought was super interesting, because I was chatting to this person I knew who was invested and had gone to their kind of presentations over in, I think it was Vancouver or wherever it was, for the Series A funding rounds they did. Is they were doing slightly questionable. I mean, obviously, it's not like in any way illegal. It's just an interesting thing, an interesting point. They were presenting their kind of revenue models for different years of the business. And they were showing that as recent as like 1 to 2 years ago, they were generating like in the hundreds of millions, I think, of revenue. But what they kind of brushed over quite briefly and didn't super go into is, I believe that a portion of that revenue, and a not totally insignificant portion, was things like the CSGO gambling websites, FaZe actually did.
The old CSGO gambling.
which FaZe, I believe, not only the individual creators, but I believe the org as a whole had interest in some of those, which obviously then got completely shut down and absolutely cancelled by the community.
As it should.
So that's not like a return revenue source.
No.
So there are some revenue sources in FaZe's past, crypto, CSGO gambling websites, which are
a sign of long-term health of a business.
No, but again, at the end of the day, if you were to ask me what is the single biggest creator brand in gaming, it would be FaZe. Yeah. I don't know exactly how to classify it, esports brand, creator brand, whatever it is. FaZe has done a good job of blending the two.
Absolutely,
I agree. It's a huge brand. $1 billion is a huge valuation. And also, I think this is so interesting because do you remember what we were talking about last week or was it the week before?
My memory just like
What were we talking about?
FaZe Banks ex-girlfriend, all of a sudden Alyssa Violet being super interested in her FaZe shareholding that she didn't manage to get her hands on. Yeah.
Oh my God,
That just occurred to me in the middle of our conversation. I was like, oh, what an interesting time for Alyssa Violet to be like, about that billion-dollar valuation and my 3% in it.
I'm going to need a little slice of that pie.
Literally. Like, I don't know what her
share... Dude, that timing is not uncanny. That timing is not a coincidence.
Absolutely not. No, it would have been everyone in the friends group talking about, oh, guys, we're about to go public. And her being
Banks like, I'm about to become a 100 million millionaire.
Yeah, and her being like, yo, what was my percent again? Like, oh, babe, like, no, sorry. That was in the other company. This is the that was the fake one. You remember the dodgy guy? Yeah, not our bad. I don't know. It'll be super interesting to see if they actually.
I feel like Banks is gonna have a few extra dollars to go around. No one's going hungry.
I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, like do you see Elon Musk being like, oh, I got a few extra billion, so I'm just gonna start handing money away for free. Just because people have money doesn't mean they give it to people they don't need to give it to.
True.
And I think that's putting a high assumption of goodwill. Not that I don't think Banks has goodwill, but I don't think that just because someone has money, like I'm not going to ring up Banks and be like, yo, my man, heard you came into a couple of hundred mil.
Well, no.
Sling a couple my way. I know what you mean.
It is amazing, though, that what I learned is that FaZe is not profitable yet.
No.
They're doing 50 mil a year in revenue and they are not profitable.
I find it insane. And this is, but obviously like this is not like correct. And I'm incorrect in this opinion, but I do find it wild that it's like, hey, would anyone like to buy our company that rapidly loses money for $1 billion? Like give us money for ownership in a company that will then continue to lose you money with the idea that eventually you're going to be able to flip that around and have it make money.
I mean, I do think that's like, that's a mindset that I think makes sense logically, but also is just not the way of the world. Like Uber, you know, is not making money. And I think the way that a lot of those companies justify or people justify investing in companies that aren't making money is because they're moving so fast and eating so much of the market share that they can see a world where that company is just ubiquitous with everything. Yeah. You know, it's like Uber's not going anywhere now. It's like, are they profitable? No. But like anyone that, if you invested in Uber 10 years ago, like anyone would say like, great job. Like, good. Because it's like, obviously Uber's changed the world. And I think that goes the same way with a lot of other big tech companies that are able to grow really fast. Is that FaZe? I don't know. And I don't know. What are they spending all their money on? I would love to know that.
Yeah. I think
50 mil is like,
that's a lot of revenue.
It's a lot of revenue. It's a lot of expenses more.
Well, okay.
Like, I think it's actually, I was kind of surprised. I thought their revenue could have been higher.
Well, you know what I wonder?
What?
With 50 million revenue, how much of that is FaZe's revenue? And how much of that is, oh, we did a $500,000 brand deal for Banks. Banks got 400,000 of that in his pocket and we kept 100 grand as our commission.
True.
But we register the 500 grand as revenue.
True.
So I actually don't even, like, of that 50 million, you would think it's higher.
Oh, true. What's underlying?
But,
yeah.
Yeah, but what actually is their revenue? Because that would actually explain why they're not profitable. Because I think it would be very hard as FaZe to be expending more than $1 million a week. Like, sure, they rent a really nice house. Sure, they've probably got, I don't know, 20, 30 employees.
More, yeah.
But at the end of the day, spending $1 million a week is not easy.
No.
So I reckon that part of that underlying revenue number is inclusive of talent revenue that flows through FaZe.
That is a good point. I think that's a good point. In which case, am I that impressed by 50 million? I don't know.
She don't impress easily, ladies and gentlemen. 50 million.
I'm not sure. Like, they're a really big company. I think they do obviously have underlying value beyond their revenue. They do have a huge amount of underlying value in their brand name. And that counts for something. I'm not discounting that. But 50 million in revenue, I mean, it is a lot to sell in brand in like sponsorships. If the majority is coming from sponsorships, say they're selling like, I don't know, what is that? Just under $1 million a week in revenue?
Yeah. Seems high.
It seems high. Seems high for an org, but yeah, I'd be interested to know how much of that includes sponsorships that you're selling on your talent that you then have to pass through the lion's share to the talent.
It's a weird middle.
Or do they? Did we ever forget Tfue's contract?
Oh yeah. Well, like it's a weird middle ground because I know because on one hand, FaZe being able to sell $1 million a week of sponsorships on their own brand, even if you say, let's even say $500,000, let's say they do another half, let's say only 50% of their claimed revenue is from sponsorships. Even $500,000 a week just on the FaZe brand that's a lot of sponsorships.
Impressive, yeah.
So that would be way more than I could believe. So therefore, I do think it would represent partially talent sponsorships. But on the other hand, with the talent they have, I would expect them to be able to do more than $1 million a week in revenue on those talent in terms of sponsorships. So
very interesting.
I don't know. It's like,
and if it includes sponsorships on talent, to me that's not really FaZe's revenue.
No, it's not.
That's brands wanting the talent.
Yeah, exactly. But if you're about to IPO, that's probably not the worst way to represent.
Really interesting. Like, there's a lot of levels to this.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it's super interesting when... Do you know when it's actually supposed to go live?
Early next year, I think.
So it'll be super interesting for just, like, watching publicly how the markets react to this. I actually think that it will perform much better than it has a right to.
Yeah.
Just because I think general hype around, there's still, as much as the esports hype isn't as insane these days as it was a few years ago, there will still be a lot of hype around this being the first, like, public offering for a, like, an esports company.
And people forget, I think, like, you know, we all forget when we're in it every day that, like, gaming is still a very alluring industry for a lot of people. Mm. And it's highly misunderstood as well. Like, I think what we've spoken about today in terms of, like, really breaking down, like, the revenue model, what is that $50 million actually comprised of?
Yeah.
How valuable is sponsorships? It really depends on what those sponsorships are and who they're going to. Like, the controversy that they've been through, the leadership team, the banks effect, that sort of thing. Like, I think we actually, you know, have a fairly nuanced understanding of what that business looks like. I think there is a huge amount of hype still around gaming where people hear the word gaming, they know it's a growth industry and they'll just invest in anything
kind of
that's like...
kind of like cryptocurrency where a lot of the time you're like, I don't really know it, but I'm going to throw money
and
at
I
it.
I think you see that with companies that have listed that are in the gaming space, whether that be developers or whether it be like an enthusiast or that sort of thing. And they have these ability to ride these hype trains. And then it's like, what's actually the underlying business there?
It is amazing how much money people will spend and invest on things that they have zero understanding of.
Totally.
I think one of the most amazing stories ever was Disney and Maker. I don't know if you remember Maker.
Yeah.
But that was one of the OG YouTube networks.
Yeah.
And Disney, like, bought them for something like I don't want to say $1 billion.
It was a lot.
It was in the hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
It was an absolute ton of money.
Yeah.
And then they realized that when they were looking through all their books and they were looking at their revenue numbers and they're like, oh, you know, this looks really good. Look how much revenue they're generating. And Maker was like, oh, yeah, look at all this revenue. And then Disney bought, apparently, this is how the story goes. And judging from what immediately happened to the company after Disney bought it, I have no reason to believe this isn't true. Disney bought it. And then all of a sudden they were like, wait, you're saying that you get all the revenue from YouTube, but then you have to send 90% of it to the creators because you're on a 90-10 revenue split. We thought that this was all your revenue and that you had a 10% profit margin. They're like, oh, no. We just passed through 90% of it.
Yeah.
So it turned out their revenue was actually 1/10 of what Disney thought it was, really, when they bought them.
Yeah.
And immediately Disney was like, oh, my God. And they literally offloaded an absolute ton of their creators. They also realized that a ton of the creators, like PewDiePie, for example, were a brand risk because they were saying whatever they wanted. And then partially because they were under a thing that was managed by Disney now. Disney was like, we can't associate with this.
Yeah.
And it was just an absolute
clusterfuck.
It was like Disney was like, oh, but we're in content. YouTube is a new content vehicle. We need to be invested in this. And they just bought the first thing that like waved a hand with a high revenue number.
It's so funny because I feel like when I was growing up, you like see these big deals happen. You see people in business and you're like, wow, you must be so smart and like really like have an in-depth understanding of everything that's going on. And sometimes like now I'm an adult, I see things and I'm just like, damn, no one knows what they're doing. Literally no one knows.
It's insane.
It's kind of funny.
And you see all these people with
it's kind of reassuring in a way.
It really is reassuring.
It makes me realize I'm like, no one's really that much smarter than you.
No, everyone's got imposter syndrome because everyone's an imposter.
Yeah.
Literally what I just think that is so crazy. Like you see these big companies with their spreadsheets and their analysts poring over every page. And like, oh, 20x. I don't know, 20x revenue. Yeah, that, you know what? That sounds like a number. Right. Let's
sounds
go for
like
it.
Nice and round. Even you know numbers.
A billion? Billion sounds nice.
Call it.
Anyone problem with $1 billion? No, we're all good with okay, good. And then they just go with it. I think what the last question and what I will end my take on the phase thing with is I'm just so curious what the ownership splits look like these days.
Oh, me too.
Because obviously Banks is like a key member, but there are also a lot of key members and a lot of founders who started FaZe way back in the day. Then obviously over time, they're bringing in investors. That splits things up more and more and more. And I have no clue what percentage of the company Banks would own.
Yeah.
It could literally be 1%. It could be 10%.
Yeah.
Could even be 20.
I don't think it's 20.
I don't think it's 20 either. I think I would put it between somewhere between 1 and 10.
Yeah. I would, maybe say 1 and like, 6 or 7.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that feels right. I love how we have no.
We're like, no nothing. One knows what they're doing. 5 minutes later, we're like, yeah, I reckon it's 1 to 10%.
Look at all these people pretending they understand how things work, and then we're pretending how we understand. But no, I mean, look, after a company's been around this long, it's taken on this many investors, it's taken on this many new kind of creators, everything
shit
like
gets
that.
Gets diluted.
It sounds, I think it would be very hard to get as big as this is and own over 10%. That is the FaZe Clan acquisition broken down.
Tell us what you think. If you have questions, if you want to chat about it in the comments and you're watching on YouTube, please do that. I'm really curious to see what other people say. And until then, we will see you next week.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.